Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and in the next half-hour segment, we're going to continue with our update of Matters German. Before the break, we were taking a look at the hostile takeover bid by the British Vodafone Mobile Phone Corporation. Their hostile bid has been placed for the Mannesmann firm. That is a German heavy industrial firm which is now moving out into the communications field from its traditional field of steel and other heavy industrial products. As noted, whereas German corporations have been buying up corporate entities in other countries, in particular the United States, at a record pace in recent years, with no protest either from the political leaders of those countries or from some of the corporate leaders, that when a British corporation made a hostile bid for one of Germany's major corporations, it has been fiercely resisted by the political leadership of Germany, including the German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder, and also Hans Eichel, Germany's finance minister. I would note that the Mannesmann firm is, like all major German corporations, connected at its base with the Bormann Flight Capital Organization. To make a long story short, during the closing phases of World War II, the Third Reich set up 750 corporate fronts in neutral countries as subsidiaries of the major German corporations, and all of the liquid capital of the Third Reich was then farmed out, so to speak, to those 750 corporate fronts, which served as a huge capital reservoir not only for the resurrection of the German corporate economy in the post-war period, but also as an economic reservoir for the political resurrection of Nazism. That is discussed in, among other programs, For the Record segments 99, entitled Tides of 20th Century Capital Flow. There are numerous programs available from Spitfire about the Bormann Group. We're going to turn now to the definitive text about the Bormann Group. That's called Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, published in hardcover by Lyle Stewart, copyright 1981, and authored by Paul Manning, part of the CBS News team that covered World War II in Europe under Edward R. Murrow. He trained as a waist gunner in a B-17 to cover the air war in Western Europe, then as a nose gunner in a B-29 to cover the air war in Japan. He broadcast the Japanese and German surrenders to the American people on the CBS radio network, and then pursued the Bormann Flight Capital Organization in the post-World War II period, wrote the definitive text on that, and had his career destroyed as a result, and that brought considerable suffering to his family. The publisher of this book, Lyle Stewart, had his legs broken the week that the book was published, and in 1993, Jerry Manning, one of Paul Manning's sons, was murdered as Paul Manning was getting ready to publish a second book about the Bormann Group, and according to his intelligence contacts, the murder of his son was retribution for his work on the remarkable and deadly Bormann Flight Capital Organization that I've spoken about before. Like all major German corporations, the Mannesmann firm, the target of Vodafone's takeover bid, the Mannesmann firm was part of the German Flight Capital program. In discussing the Bormann Flight Capital to Sweden, one of the top neutral countries that was a recipient of the Bormann Capital, we read as follows in Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. Members of the German steel cartel, such as Veronika Stahlwerke, of which Hermann Schmitz was a director, Mannesmann, Krupp, Gute Hoffnungsschütte, and Stahlunion, all owned related enterprises in Sweden, and the importation, handling, and transportation of coal and coke became almost a projection of Germany's coal industry. And Mannesmann also was involved with the Bormann Flight Capital that went to Argentina as well. Turning once again to Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. Part of the new corporate move to Latin America was represented by Fritz Mondel, the armament manufacturer of the Ruhr, who invested heavily in an Argentine government program to expand its armaments industry. The two largest German firms, Thyssen-La-Metall SA, Industrial y Mercantil, and La Sociedad Tubos Mannesmann, received German financing under the capital made available for export by Martin Bormann. So note the Mannesmann's firm's ties to the Bormann Group, and note also the German corporate purchases in other countries not resisted by their political leadership. LA Times business section of December 22, 1999, Pacific Life may be acquired by German insurer. It's by a story by Edmund Sanders. It talks about Allianz, a German insurance firm, picking up Pacific Life. and another major American insurance firm picked up by Allianz. Covered in the business section of the San Francisco Examiner Friday, December 3rd of 1999, an article by George Raine, R-A-I-N-E, World War II policies list not in state. Fireman's Fund tells state that info is held by German owners. California Department of Insurance officials examining the progress of insurance industry compliance with a Holocaust-era disclosure law said they were dissatisfied with testimony from lawyers for Novato-based Fireman's Fund. The lawyers, responding to a subpoena, said Thursday they could not provide the kind of detail officials sought, nor did they know whether Fireman Fund's parent, Allianz of Germany, will fully comply with terms of the California Holocaust Registry law. And note again the absence of protest from corporate and political leadership in other countries to German corporate takeovers. In discussing the European Monetary Union, again, reviewing something that I touched on in the last half hour, I have analyzed that as the realization of Friedrich Liszt's pan-German economic theories for German world domination by uniting Europe under German under German control as a vehicle for realizing German world conquest. I would note that the European Monetary Union is being used in a very idiosyncratic and nationalist way by Germany, particularly with regard to the United Kingdom. The Financial Times of London of October 9th and 10th of 1999 carries the following story by John Griffiths entitled A Harsh Lesson in German Economics. For most of this week, as a dispute raged at the Conservative Party conference over the European single currency, life went on as usual at thousands of small businesses in Britain. But on Thursday, some of them were given a nasty lesson on the implications of sterling's independence. BMW, the German company that owns Rover, the UK's biggest vehicle maker, confirmed to nearly 1,000 suppliers that they will have to receive payments in euros. That might have been a mere irritation, but for one thing: the exchange rate the German company is likely to use. Rather than the current euro value against sterling, which is equivalent to about 3 Deutschmarks to the pound, suppliers have been told to expect between 2.6 and 2.7 Deutschmarks. The decision could in effect exclude many of BMW's UK suppliers because they fear they will be unable to sell parts profitably. Quote, "I don't think any of us have a problem with transacting in euros," says one supplier, "but what BMW is doing is using the euro as a cover for forced price cutting," unquote. Again, as I mentioned, the European Monetary Union is actually being used in a very nationalistic way by Germany for arm-twisting countries into a position that is desired by corporate Germany. And speaking of corporate Germany, one of the best known and, for students of World War II, most notorious of German corporate entities, again inextricably linked with the Bormann Group, the IG Farben chemical cartel, is showing signs of recoalescing once again. They are pooling their textile dye units into a single company, thereby in effect recreating IG Farben. Research credit on the following goes to a member of the listening audience. This comes from the Bloomberg News Service, which basically covers business news. It's datelined November 10th, and it's from Frankfurt, Germany. It's headlined, BASF, Bayer, and Hoechst in first major venture since Farben split, and it reads in part as follows. BASF AG, Bayer AG, and Hoechst AG's plan to pool their textile dye units into a company with annual sales of more than 2 billion Deutschmarks, or $1.1 billion, will create the biggest company in the industry. It's also the first major venture of the chemicals company since they were separated by the Allied forces after World War II. The three were part of IG Farben Industry AG, which developed Zyklon B gas used in Hitler's death camps. Quote, "The decision definitely has some historic resonance," unquote, said Eli Cohen, head of research at France's National Committee for Scientific Research in Paris. Again quoting, "It's a surprising move," unquote. The three banded together in 1925 in Farben, only to be split up after the war. BASF, Bayer, and Hoechst, which is merging with France's Rhône-Poulenc SA, were absolved of any responsibility for their former parents' acts. Now, the three are working together again, even as they and other German companies continue to sort out claims dating back to the Nazi slave labor camps. They're among 36 companies, including Deutsche Bank AG, that have agreed to pay into a 4 billion Deutsche Mark fund to compensate victims. So IG Farben recoalescing again in the post-World War II period. Back to the future. For more information about German political and economic matters, we're going to turn now to an excerpt from the One Step Beyond program from December 5th of 1999. A German with what is almost certainly very strong links to the Bormann Organization is now one of the candidates to head up the International Monetary Fund. Research credit on the following goes to a member of the listening audience. This is entitled, A German Kochweiser Emerged as IMF Contender. It's by Douglas Busvine, B-U-S-V-I-N-E. It's datelined Berlin, November 10th. This is a Reuters story. Kaio Kochweiser, that's C-A-I-O, and last name K-O, capital K-O-C-H, hyphen capital W-E-S-E-R, a German deputy finance minister and former top World Bank official, emerged on Wednesday as an early front-runner to replace France's Michel Comdesis as head of the International Monetary Fund, or Comdesus, as head of the International Monetary Fund. That meant last name C-A-M-D-E-S-S-U-S. Continuing. It has not been settled, but it's looking good, unquote, one well-placed source in Berlin said. Quote, there are no other candidates in the running, unquote. The influential Bundesbank Central Bank also said Germany, Europe's economic powerhouse but long underrepresented at the helm of international institutions, should get the job, skipping down. It is unusual for Germany to mount a public lobbying campaign to secure such a job. Government spokesman Uwe Kirsten Haya kept up that tradition when asked whether Berlin wanted a German to take the helm at the IMF. Quote, it is in the German interest that the job is filled by the right man or woman, unquote, he told a routine news conference. But growing confidence and diplomatic muscle following the collapse of the Berlin Wall 10 years ago this week has given Germany ambitions to secure a voice in the world to match its checkbook. Chancellor Gerhard Schröder has made it clear he wants to break with the self-effacement that followed the Nazi era. Well, he's certainly done that. Continuing, Bundesbank, that by the way obviously is my interjection, Bundesbank Vice President Jürgen Stark spoke out in favor of a German taking charge at the IMF, although he steered clear of mentioning any names. Stark told a radio station it would be appropriate for a German to step into the IMF job after Comdesus' lengthy tenure in a job which has traditionally been held by a European. Skipping down, the source said the 55-year-old Kochweiser, who is responsible for international financial policy, was well-known and enjoyed wide acceptance among Germany's partner countries. Skipping down again, Kochweiser was brought into government earlier this year by Finance Minister Hans Eichel after spending 25 years at the World Bank, where he started as a graduate trainee and rose to become managing director of operations. Born and raised in Brazil and a holder of dual Brazilian German nationality, Kochweiser speaks 6 languages. His parents supposedly fled from Nazi Germany in 1933, but bear in mind that operatives of the Bormann Group and all operatives of the post-war underground Reich were officially given anti-Nazi pedigrees. The fact of the matter is this guy's been heavily involved in finance and has been responsible for international financial policy for the Federal Republic. He is a holder of joint Brazilian and German nationality. It is a safe bet that this fellow is an operative of the Bormann Group, certainly ultimately will answer to that very powerful and deadly organization. And again, he's the odds-on favorite to become the head of the World Bank. Another interesting name is in the news, the economic news. This also comes from the Financial Times of London, like so many of the stories. This is for that I've used in this segment. This is from the Financial Times of London of Tuesday, October 19th of 1999. In a short article, this is entitled, Teledesic Brings Naumann on Board, we read the following. Teledesic, T-E-L-E-D-E-S-I-C, the U.S. group planning to launch a satellite-based internet service, has recruited Klaus Naumann, the former chairman of NATO's military committee. Naumann will head Teledesic's European operations and assumes the title of managing director of the region. Based in Munich, he will be responsible for developing relationships with regulatory authorities and investors. Klaus Naumann was the Inspector General of the German Armed Forces and later head of the NATO Permanent Military Committee. He's also an individual with a very, very interesting political outlook and background. We discussed Klaus Naumann in For the Record segments 50, entitled Reunited Germany, A New Danger, that in turn taken from the British Searchlight publication of the same name. Again, Reunited Germany, The New Danger, published in cooperation and compiled in cooperation with the German Antifa Infoblot, a German anti-fascist research group and activist group. We're going to excerpt now For the Record segment number 50, and we're going to listen to Klaus Naumann's background, and bear in mind that he's now going to head up the European operations for an American satellite-based internet company. In Reunited Germany, The New Danger, we read as follows about Klaus Naumann, some of his views and policies. Again, bear in mind, he is the current head of the German armed forces. The self-styled chief of the new German general staff is a modern military leader for whom it is important that recruits should be ready not merely to offer blind obedience, but also, quote, in the context of their responsibility as citizens, unquote, to die for the fatherland. His openly stated aim is to endow, quote, the Bundeswehr with a victor mentality, unquote. The chief of the German military revealed his true colors in 1993, disclosing more about the nature of the leadership of the 370,000-strong Bundeswehr than can have been comfortable for Defense Minister Volker Rühe. At last, Klaus Naumann, the head of the German armed forces, beginning again, at last, he gloated to general staff officers, we have reached the end of a period which began not in 1945, nor in 1917, but, quote, found its beginning in the French Revolution of 1789. It is ending because in a world brought together by modern communications, there is no longer a place for ideologues who can only function where they can do so with a mixture of lies and truths, unquote. Now, the pre-modernist melody with which German soldiers were regaled as they marched on Paris in 1870, 1914, and 1940 strikes up again in post-modernist tones with Naumann waving the conductor's baton. There was the egalitarian universalism of the bourgeois revolution with which the rot set in, and here, German national principles which, with the elimination of, quote, the ideas of 1789, unquote, history proved to be right. There, the superficial rationalism of the Western powers, and here, the serene depths of German culture. So on the one hand, we have the, quote, foreigners, unquote, and on the other, Wolfgang Schäuble, the leader of Helmut Kohl's Christian Democratic Union in the Bundestag, who declares, quote, we form an identity not through professing a belief in some idea, but from belonging to a particular nation, unquote. The soldier who wants to bury the age of civil rights is Klaus Naumann, Inspector General of the Bundeswehr and therefore de facto chief of the new German General Staff, as he is fond of pointing out. Naumann is the driving force behind Defense Minister Rühe's new Reichswehr, which he is reshaping according to his own Prussian example. Of course, by the way, the values of 1789, liberty, equality, and fraternity. That from For the Record segments 50, that recorded, by the way, in the summer of 1995 and taken from the Searchlight publication, Reunited Germany, The New Danger, obviously the same name. Bear in mind that Klaus Naumann, who was opposed to the values of the French Revolution, says that now that era is ending, the era of liberty, equality, and fraternity. He was head of the German armed forces when he made that statement in an address to his general staff officers in 1993. He is now the head of European operations for Teledesic, which is an American satellite-based internet company backed by Bill Gates. Again, by way of underscoring the continuity between the old Germany and the new, that's particularly evident in the Bundeswehr. In For the Record segment 184, updating developments with regard to the Balkans War, we took a look at General Klaus Reinhardt, who is now in charge of all NATO forces in Kosovo, just as Klaus Naumann, about whom we just heard, that budding Democrat, was in charge of not only the German armed forces, but became the head of the NATO Permanent Military Committee. Klaus Reinhardt is now in charge of NATO forces in Kosovo. And we're going to review a bit of Klaus Reinhardt's background. This from the Daily Mail of Saturday, October 2nd of 1999. That's a British paper, and this was researched for us by Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator. This article is by Christopher Evans, and it's headlined, Genocide and the Terrible Nazi Secret of the German German Who Leads British Troops. This is about Klaus Reinhardt and his father Fritz Reinhardt, who was, although nominally the deputy finance minister of Nazi Germany, became, when Hjalmar Schacht left that post, the de facto head of the German finance ministry, of Klaus Reinhardt, of Fritz Reinhardt, Klaus's father. As the most senior civil servant in the ministry which bankrolled Hitler's war machine, Reinhardt was junior only to the minister himself, Count Schwerin von Krosigk. The Count, a crony of Hitler, was really only a figurehead, and according to historians, the decisions were made by Reinhardt. The article also talks about the fact that Axion Reinhardt, the liquidation of Polish Jewry, some 1.75 million of them, and the appropriation of their property, was named after Fritz Reinhardt, who was a hardcore fanatic who even looked like Hitler, and was the deputy finance minister, the de facto controller of the Third Reich's finance ministry right up to the end of the war. As I noted in For the Record segment 184, this inevitably placed Fritz Reinhardt in close conjunction with and working with the Bormann Flight Capital Organization. That organization came into being following a meeting in Strasbourg in France in August of 1944, and this would have placed Fritz Reinhardt working very closely with Martin Bormann and the Flight Capital program in that period. As noted in For the Record segment 155, the key officials of the Bormann Flight Capital Organization are the sons and daughters of top Nazi officials and SS personnel. We're going to review a short section of For the Record segment 155, and in turn, this is information from Monitin, an Israeli magazine from the first quarter of 1991. The precise date was not available due to the fact that I don't speak Hebrew, and this article was authored in part by Paul Manning, the author of Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. Paul Manning broadcast the surrenders of Japan and Germany to the American people on the CBS radio network. He trained as a waist gunner in a B-17 to cover the air war in Europe, then became a nose gunner in a B-29 to cover the air war in Japan, and he wrote the definitive story of the Bormann Flight Capital Organization, a colleague of Edward R. Murrow's for CBS News during World War II. This article from the Israeli publication Monitin, authored partly by Paul Manning, and it's about the heritage of the officials who make up the Bormann Organization. This article was in the first quarter of 1991. In these enterprises, there was great concern for a sort of military hierarchy. Of course, today we are talking about the second generation of this population group, their sons and daughters, and their brides and grooms, of these 50,000 people that had run the Nazi terror. By the way, if some of the verbiage seems a little awkward here, this is translated from Hebrew, so that would account for that. Resuming again with the discussion of the second generation of SS, the sons and daughters of the original 50,000 who fled Nazi Germany and became the core of not only the Bormann Organization, but what I have termed the Underground Reich, we read, "There is not very great change in the hierarchy of this group internally. Power was passed from father to son, and titles were granted from fathers to daughters or through their husbands. In the past 45 years, none of this group married outside of the framework, the only exceptions being those who got permission to marry into families in Germany. Their Nazi purity is absolutely without doubt. For instance, today this organization is ruled by the son and the daughter of Bormann, Hitler's vice chancellor, his second in command, Martin Bormann. Trying to get into this cruel, dark world was always an extremely hard task and a very dangerous one as well. Sometimes it seems that today such an investigation or penetration is even more dangerous than it would have been in years past. Such was my experience when many years ago I was trying to find out whether Martin Bormann was in fact dead or had, as the information indicated, actually managed to escape from Berlin and is still alive. One thing I determined for sure, that in the countries of South America, especially in Argentina, there is a secret and powerful organization that holds the name the Bormann Organization. The founders were leaders for this purpose when the defeat of the Third Reich was completed. I have no doubts today that the organization is responsible for much that happened in the West, for what is called the economic miracle of the West German Republic. By the way, I would interject that the Bormann Organization is responsible for a great deal of history that has not been attributed to it, including, to a considerable extent, the assassination of President Kennedy, in mine and others' opinions, in the two interviews with Peter Manning
He revealed to us that his father had learned and was of the opinion that the Kennedy assassination, the core group of the Kennedy assassination, was indeed the Borman group. And that again in a pair of half-hour interviews with Peter Manning that are available from Spitfire. That's, I've forgotten the numbers of the for-the-record designations offhand. Resuming again with this text, this translation of an article from the Israeli publication Monitin from the first few months of 1991. And speaking of the Borman organization, this author writes, "The founders were leaders for this purpose when the defeat of the Third Reich was completed. I have no doubts today that the organization is responsible for much of what happened in the West, for what is called the economic miracle of the West German Republic. When in Paris agreements were signed between the winning allies of World War II and West Germany in 1954, the huge amount of money that was collected was from the 750 companies, international companies, that the Borman organization through their offices in the German Republic. Those great funds helped to establish Germany's international financial situation in today's world. This money allowed the Germans to stay at exactly the same point they had been prior to World War II. Germany is a natural candidate to be one of the three major players in the world economy, together with the United States and Japan. The Borman organization is managed today by Adolf, how symbolic, Martin Borman, and his sister Naomi Borman, leading a group of 20 German bankers and industrialists and economists, 10 of the Nazi community in South America, and 10 in West Germany. This constitutes one of the most mysterious and powerful groups in our world today. Their personal security is connected to the security of companies and corporations, and their money is protected and assured by a group of generals, past SS generals, and their sons. Beside their civilian titles, they carry military rankings that were commonly used in Nazi Germany. My research indicated that these generals and their sons are running one of the largest and most ingenious information systems comparable to any in the United States and Western Europe." By the way, by information systems here, the author means intelligence agencies or intelligence organizations.
That again from For the Record segment 155, and that was researched for us by Peter Manning, Paul Manning's son, that from the Israeli publication Monitin. So again, there's certainly not enough information to say definitively that Klaus Reinhard might be affiliated with the Borman organization, but in light of the fact that his father undoubtedly worked very closely with the organization and was a key Third Reich financial official, and in light of the contemporary makeup that you just heard described of the Borman group, I don't think that it's an unreasonable question to ask. Again, that was excerpted from the One Step Beyond show of December 5th of 1999. Again, note that many of the top officials in the Borman group are the sons and sons-in-law of former Nazi officials and SS men. I would note in that regard that there is strong circumstantial evidence suggesting that the Bush family is connected to the Borman group. One of the circumstances wants to ask the question, is George W. and perhaps his father or his father, are George W. and his father also members of the American branch of the Borman group? They certainly have strong connections to the Underground Reich, or the family has strong connections to the Underground Reich, as I have looked at in the past. That concludes this broadcast. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.